This book of Habakkuk is, we could plop it right in to 2019 and it would fit perfectly. Of course, Habakkuk is the prophet. This is a section called the Minor Prophets. And we say a lot, it's not meaning that they are less important than Isaiah or Jeremiah. It's just their books are smaller. This is only three chapters, very short chapters. You can go home and read the entire book, but it's basically a conversation that Habakkuk has with God. And in chapter one, we see the turmoil that Habakkuk is going through. Habakkuk is like a lot of us today. Again, it's not that he is doubting God and who he is, but he's doubting and he's concerned and questioning what's going on in the current state of the world at that time. The world and the church world was turned to apostasy. They were backsliding, and God was about ready to pronounce judgment and hardship on them. At this time of turmoil, Jehoiakim is the king of Judah. And for those of you that you've heard that name before from this pulpit, and we've described to you how evil of a king he was, he led the children of God to idolatry and to backsliding. And now they're at the point when God has had enough and he is about ready to pronounce judgment. Habakkuk begins to ask him a question in chapter one in this turmoil. He says, how long, Lord, will you hold back? How long do we have to endure through this? Because see, Habakkuk's right in the middle of all this apostasy. He's right in the middle of all this backsliding. It seems like the majority of the people are not going with God and in God's direction. He feels like he's alone. You ever feel like that? You ever feel like you're not going in the same direction as some other people? You ever feel like that we're the minority? You ever think that those that are in the right maybe are isolated? But may I remind you today, even though the world goes the direction of hell, we can't go that direction just to try to win them. No, we still have to stay on the straight and narrow way. And Habakkuk was like us today. It seems like the world was getting worse each day. It seems like the church was backsliding and falling away. And he wondered, Lord, how long are you going to let this happen? How long are the wicked going to prosper? How long are we going to have to suffer? Have you heard this before lately? Why do bad things happen to good people? That's exactly what he was going through in chapter one. He was dealing with this turmoil and he had trouble understanding what God was trying to do. And so in chapter one, he turns this turmoil and he says, okay, God, I've said enough. I've spoken enough. I've cried enough. Now it's time for me to sit back and you tell me what you're going to do. So the turmoil turns to a tower. You'll find in chapter 2 that he goes up on a tower in verse 1 and he says, Lord, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit on this tower and I'm going to listen to you because I've talked enough. Now it's time for me to be quiet and you tell me what you're going to do. And so God says, okay, if that's what you're going to do, then I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. And he says, listen, write it down. I want you to make it plain. I want you to write it down. This is exactly what's going to happen. And so he unfolded the plan that he would have to get his people back to him. And so this was another confusing thing to Habakkuk. See, because he used somebody more wicked than the children of Israel to punish them to get them back. What Habakkuk wanted God to do, stick with me now, you're losing me, don't lose me. What Habakkuk wanted God to do was to just punish them himself and then bring him back to him. But he said, no, you know what? I'm going to use the Babylonian people to get to my children and to bring them back. He said, sometimes the best thing for people is to get exactly what they want. And so he used somebody worse. He used the heathen nation to bring his people back. And he said, write it down, make it clear, this is exactly what's gonna happen. So the turmoil turned to a tower. And then he said, this is what's gonna happen. You can go through all this turmoil, Habakkuk, but listen, the turmoil won't last forever. And listen, I'm gonna turn your doubts into shouts. He said, I'm gonna show you exactly what's gonna happen. But listen, you don't have to worry. I'm gonna take care of you. I'm gonna take care of my people. But listen, you're gonna have to go through some times of trial. You're going to have to go through some times of suffering. But listen, I have not forgotten you. I know exactly where you're at. And bless God, I'm going to help you and strengthen you. You're going to get through this in my time, in my way, for your glory. And so he turns this turmoil and he goes into this tower. And he says, I'm going to sit back here and watch what you're going to do. And he says, make it plain, Habakkuk. Write it down. This is exactly what's going to happen. And so the turmoil, and we see the tower. But then I want you to notice what chapter 3 says. The chapter 3 is all about thanksgiving. So listen now, Habakkuk just receives the judgment from God of what he's going to do. And can I remind you, it wasn't all positive. He was telling him exactly what was going to happen, and it was going to be bad. But he turns this turmoil into thanksgiving because he begins to pray. And in fact, you'll find in chapter 3, the prayer turns to praise because you'll find out that this is actually a psalm that Habakkuk had wrote. Because you'll find at the very last words of this chapter 3 in verse 19, he wants to write it to the chief singer on my stringed instrument. He wanted to turn this turmoil into praise. He wanted to turn this moment of time into shouts. He said, you know what? Even though it's going to get bad, I know whom I trust in, and I know who my God is, and I'm going to make it through. I'm going to take a moment, and I'm going to praise God for who he is. Oh, hallelujah. Haven't even got to the good part yet. You'll find that through chapter 3, and the reason why I believe this was a psalm or a piece of music is because you'll find throughout chapter 3 is he used the words Selah. And you'll find the word Selah very common in the book of Psalms. And what that word Selah actually means, it means to lift up and exalt. But what it also means is to pause and interrupt. It's a musical term. It's a musical connotation. And so what he was saying was, I'm going to talk a little bit, and I'm going to take a moment, I'm going to pause, and I'm going to have a praise time. He said, I'm going to pause, and I'm going to praise. So you'll find in chapter 3, and I feel the Lord right now, in the beginning of chapter 3, he starts talking about God. He starts talking about him being the Holy One. He starts talking about him, where he come from. And he says, Lord, only you can revive thy works in the midst of the years. And then in verse 3, he stops and says, Selah. He says, you know what? When I think about God and who he is, I just got to pause and I got to praise. Oh, thank God. Aren't you thankful today? Sometimes we just got to take a moment and stop and thank God for who he is. Amen. And then he continues on with his prayer and his song. And he stops again and says, I'm going to stop and I'm going to praise. And then you'll find, and this is what I want to get to, you'll find that this entire book of Habakkuk rests on two words. And he works all this song in chapter 3. And he starts displaying what's going to happen. And he starts rehearsing in his mind what's going to happen. But yet he stops and has a prayer of thanksgiving. And then look with me in verse 17. This is our text verse. The whole chapter lies on these two words. Here's the first word. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. And here's the second word. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. You see, what I'm trying to get to you is to these two words. This whole book goes from turmoil, and then he sits on a tower and begins to say, Lord, what are you going to do? The Lord shows him the judgment that he's going to pronounce, and it's not going to be good. But then the turmoil turns to thanksgiving, and then he gets down to the end of the book and he says, although things may be going this direction, and although it's going to get bad, even though it may turn to where I can't even wake up in the morning, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, yet
will I rejoice in the Lord. When the fruit shall be when the vines have no fruit, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. When the olives shall fail, say it with me, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. When the fields shall yield no meat, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. When the flock shall be cut off from the field, no herd in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. Even though I'm broke, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. Although I've got financial difficulties, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. Even though the diagnosis may not be what I want, yet will I rejoice. Somebody praise God this morning. Although the fig tree shall fade, although the diagnosis looks bad, although death comes in my family, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo, I feel this morning. Glory to God. Even though my children are in jail, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. Although I may be the only one in my family serving God, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. Even though my body is weak and it don't do what I want it to do, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah, this morning. It's time for us to wake up and understand it may get worse, but yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Even though it looks dark, yet I'm going to get up on Sunday morning. I'm going to put my clothes on and I'm going to come to church. I'm going to lift my hands to God and say, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory to God. We may be troubled on every side, yet we are not distressed. Hallelujah. I wish I could quote all 665 verses that the word yet is found. But the Bible constantly reminds us things may be looking dark. Things may be looking bleak. But our responsibility is to not look at the situation. Our responsibility is to look at the Savior and say, I don't care what's going on around me. Yet I will rejoice. Hallelujah. Woo. Glory to God. Every one of us this morning have an although. We do. We do. Every one of us have an although. But we've got a yet. Amen. Oh, this got all over me bigger than a house this week. I got to thinking about all the things that our church has been going through lately. And the things that God is preparing. Do you understand why we're going through what we're going through? It's not because we're suffering or because we've been mean or because God's trying to punish us. What I'm trying to tell us is God's getting us ready for something big. And he's wanting us to understand, do you still want to praise me even though you may not have no money in the bank? Are you still going to praise me even though you may be sick in body? Are you still going to praise me even though you don't feel like it? Bless God, I don't care what your although is. Thank God, yet we can rejoice. Hallelujah. I don't care how great your although is. Your yet is greater. What's your although? Glory to God. Amen. That's right. Although, what's your although? Lack of jobs, diagnoses, sickness, pain, suffering. God's saying, are you still going to praise me even though you got shoulder surgery, Andy McKenzie? Are you still going to praise me even though you went through kidney stones, Miles Ferguson? Are you still going to praise me, Marcia Fields, even though the diagnosis isn't as good? Mark Fields, are you still going to praise me even though the diagnosis isn't good? Hey, I'm telling you what, that's just a few, but I know there's a lot more that's had some all those in your life, but yet you went through it. You made it through it, and just like Habakkuk, you said, all those. It may look dark, yet, I will rejoice. I will praise him. Glory to God, yet. Say it with me, yet will I praise God. I will rejoice. Woo! Aren't you glad our feelings do not determine our salvation? Sometimes I don't feel like I'm saved, bub, but I know I'm saved. Some of y'all looking at me like, oh, there ain't no way. Hey, you've been there. You've exactly been there. The devil's gotten on your shoulder and made you think you didn't get anything. And especially if you get saved at a very young age, he'll tell you you didn't get anything. And you'll start to listen to him. And you may even believe him for a second. But then you remember what God did for you. And that your feelings don't determine how saved you are. Bless God, I may not feel good, but I know I'm saved. I may not have a dollar to my name, but I know I'm saved. Hey, hallelujah. My body may be weak, but I know I'm saved. Aren't you thankful today? Our feelings don't determine our salvation. And yet, I will rejoice. Woo, this suit's going to the cleaners tomorrow. Bless God. I will rejoice in the sovereign God. And this salvation applies to more than an individual soul. What this word really means is deliverance and redemption. And so what it really means is one day not only are we saved because of the redemptive power of God, but think one day we will be delivered from this life. And that's how we can rejoice. That's how when we get to a homegoing celebration yesterday afternoon for Jim Shelton, we can rejoice in the fact that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. The temporary things amount to nothing when you think about heaven and what it's going to be. That's what he said. I can rejoice to know that this world is temporary, but thank God heaven is forever. Woo! We can rejoice because of his sovereignty. We can rejoice because of our salvation. But we can rejoice because the Lord is my strength. He said, he's my strength. He says, here's what he'll do. If we learn to praise him, notice, praise was first. We don't get on the mountain and then praise. Come on now. We don't wait. God's not waiting for everything to go good in our life and then praise. That's not real praise. That's using God as a spare tire. True praise is when you're right in the middle of it and you still can lift your hands. Although, Lord, yet I will rejoice. Woo, I can't get over that. But he gives us strength. So what's he do? After we praise and rejoice, he gives us strength. And then what's that strength do? He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. Of course, you've heard our pastor preach this years ago. The hind is a deer, and it's a type of deer that climbs mountain ranges. And basically what Habakkuk was trying to say, says, you will make my feet like a deer's feet. And their back legs were very strong, so they were to propel up the mountain and up the rocks. He said, you'll make me like the deer in the fact that I can go higher than my situation and look down upon where I came from. Said, you'll give me strength, Lord, to rise above the situation and be able to look down on it. You say, Brian, does it get rid of the situation? No, but what it does, it gets you higher than your situation. And you can look down and see God's point of view. And you'll find out when you get higher and look down, you'll say, you know what? It's not as big a problem as I thought it was. Why? Because you understand, thank God, you're higher. And when you get higher, you get closer to God. And you understand, he's able. Hallelujah. So I got a call this week from my dad. And for those of you who don't know, my dad's been going through some sickness and like many of you, waiting on procedures and tests and things to be done, he's got to wait on Medicare to get a pacemaker. So we know he needs a pacemaker, but now it's just a waiting game. And so he's still really weak. He's still coming to church. You've seen him here probably. He don't look too good. He's pretty pale, but he's doing it. So he stood up Wednesday and had his hanky back here going. That's his thing. That's Dad's thing. He does the hanky. And so he had to sit down, but he still had the hanky going. He's saying, although, although, yet, I will rejoice. So he called me, and he says, this is about Thursday, Friday morning, actually. He said, you know what? I got an addition to Calray's message. And if you ever know Dad, if you've ever been around Dad, and when he says I have an addition to something, then set your clock. It's going to be about an hour. I'm kidding. Not really, but it is. It's. So I thought, well, I actually couldn't get the phone when he called. And so I was listening to the voicemail. And he said, I got an addition to Calray's message. He said, he's talking about Bowling Point. And he said, boy, it got hot, didn't it? He's talking to me on the voicemail like he's actually talking to me. Your parents ever do that, kids? They leave you a voicemail and it's like they're talking to you. So he's having a conversation with himself, but he thinks it's me. So he said, man, that was a good message, wasn't it? And he said, Bowling Point. He said, but you know what? He said, the higher the elevation, the boiling point decreases. And I knew what I was preaching this morning. And I said, thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Daddy. That was from heaven right there. And he said, guess what, Brian? The higher we get with God, it don't take us long to get boiling. And I said, that's exactly right. That's where we need to get. Stop worrying about somebody else. Why don't you get higher with God? And thank God when you come to church, you won't need to be primed and pumped. No, you'll be ready to go, and you'll be at 211 waiting on 212. Bless God, folks. Hallelujah. I'm thankful we can get higher with God. And he gives us the ability to get higher. And when we get higher, we can enjoy our freedom in God, looking down on our situation. And God will give us strength when we need it. In times of sickness, in times of suffering, and yes, even at times of death, God will give us strength to make our crossing. I mentioned yesterday, and I'm closing. I mentioned yesterday we had a tremendous homegoing celebration for Jim. And God really helped us. And we went over and like our church does, provided the meal for the family. And I was talking to his daughter, Jill. And Jim loved bluegrass music. And so we actually sang some bluegrass for him yesterday. Didn't do too bad, Greg. We did pretty good, bud. For one practice right before the funeral, we did pretty good. And so we played some bluegrass. And that was the only thing that calmed Jim down. He loved bluegrass. And so they had a specific album, specific song that they would play. That was what calmed him down when he'd get restless. And so he was over at hospice and nearing his crossing. And for those of you that followed what was happening, it seemed like he wouldn't make it through the day, then he'd make it another day. And that went on for days, a couple of weeks. And we thought for sure he'd go that day, and he wouldn't, and he would keep going on. That's how much strength he had in his body. We didn't even realize he had it. So about the second or third day, Jill thought, you know what, I'm going to play some music, because sometimes it just gets so quiet in there and you can hear yourself think, you know. So she begins to turn on that album, Living on the Other Side by Third Time Out, good old gospel CD. She puts it in there on the phone. She starts playing it. She said about the first half of the first verse, Jim hadn't responded. He hadn't said a word. He hadn't done anything but lay and sleep. As soon as she began to play that music, Jim's arms went. So what are you talking about, Brian? I'm talking about although. Although I'm fighting with death to let me go, yet I will rejoice. And surely, if a man on his deathbed has enough strength to raise his hands after suffering Parkinson's for years and dementia and Alzheimer's, surely in this place today, you have enough strength that you can lift your hands to God. and say, although, although it may not look good, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Let's stand this morning. Praise your holy name.